This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On this week's show, the WWE Women's Tournament and the return of Mickey James. Cool stuff happening for women in WWE. The Royal Rumble is coming, and you can get all of your Royal Rumble coverage here at ProWrestling.net. Make sure to subscribe to the All Access Podcast, and if you want more, sign up for ProWrestling.net membership for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month if you pay monthly. You can get ad-free access to ProWrestling.net, access to our exclusive audio, including what will be an audio review of the Royal Rumble, plus the .NET Weekly audio show and audio reviews of every major show. Guys, check it out, ProWrestling.net. Click the membership link. You won't be disappointed. So, Jake, as we sit down to record this today, a whole lot of developments happening in women's wrestling, especially in WWE, and that's the main topic of our show today. That's what we want to touch on and talk about. The first thing, Tuesday night, you cover SmackDown. Were you surprised to see Mickie James return as the revealed La Luchadora and align herself with Alexa Bliss?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, it's pretty tough to be surprised. I think it had been well rumored that she had signed a deal and that they were finding a place to put her. And then, you know, you have this mystery person show up on SmackDown.
I never put the two together. Like, I was legitimately surprised by this.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me. I wasn't shocked. I mean, I thought, well, maybe she'll go to NXT and this is something else. But I know they even had, you know, multiple different people play the role, you know, and so they never really look the same. Like, you could, like, it was different body types underneath the costume week to week. And so, you know, this week it was clearly someone else, and then, you know, they took off the mask and here she was. So, So I actually really like the angle. I mean, I think it's been a little bit silly at times, but the payoff was good. I mean, I really think Mickie James is a huge bargain for WWE at this point. She's been kind of in obscurity for a couple of years. I mean, she had a kid, and she's been away from wrestling, and now she's back and seems to be in tremendous shape. And I don't know if she'll be working the full schedule in WWE, but she looks like she is ready to contribute. And I think her match with Asuka is proof positive that she can still put on one hell of a match, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. That match with Asuka was truly great. It was really fun. It came at a time when the NXT women's division needed something, because Asuka is the only game in town on that NXT brand right now, and Mickie James more than held up her end of it, and I think that was a good test for WWE to see what Mickie is worth today, what she can do, what they can do with her, and then decide, hey, do we want to take this, it's not even a gamble then, do we want to take this sure thing to the main roster? Where do we think she fits? Is she excited? Does she want to do more? And it gave them a chance to sit down and talk, and I look at the return of Mickie James as nothing but a positive for what I think is already a very good women's division on SmackDown. The actual storyline between Nikki Bella and Natalya notwithstanding, you're looking at a division that uses its roster as best it can. It uses its roster on almost every show. You continually see at least the top four in Becky, Alexa, Natalya, and Natty used, or did I just say Natalya and Natty? Natalya and Nikki used. That'd be great if Natalya was just used twice. You can have heel Natalya and babyface Natalya. But you routinely see these women used. You routinely see them do really great stuff. And this came at the end of an episode where Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch were the main event of the episode. I think the episode had them as the biggest thing to happen on it, not just in the main event, but you didn't get a blockbuster anything from AJ Styles or John Cena or The Miz or Dean Ambrose or any of the other top stars on SmackDown. The show was about Becky and Alexa, and they delivered, and I thought this angle delivered. I'm really excited to see where they go forward with Mickie James.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, you know, adding someone who just brings a wealth of experience. I mean, I guess the one issue you could take with the SmackDown Women's Division is that, you know, it's not really anchored by someone who, you know, has been in big places before. You know, Mickie James has had WrestleMania matches and successful ones at that. And then you have a lot of young talent, you know, on SmackDown, and you know, not just Becky, who is probably along with Nikki and Natalya the more seasoned, but I mean Naomi and Carmella and Alexa Bliss. I mean, you know, they're, you know, having someone backstage for them who, you know, has been to the show multiple times and can offer pointers after having been wrestling for decades is important. You know, it's an important resource for them, and somebody who has a history with the company who might be able to help them navigate, you know, political waters and things of that nature too. So I think it's great. I mean, and now you're looking at, you know, coming into, you know, the early part of February, with Elimination Chamber, the possibility of actually having enough women to credibly fill out an Elimination Chamber match if they wanted to.
I don't think they'll do that, but it's there. Like, that idea is absolutely there, and it's not a bunch of inexperienced women. It's women with a good level of experience and women who are all really at the top of their game wrestling-wise. Something I'm happy about with Mickie James coming in. Jake, I watched Mickie James go through the doldrums of storylines in WWE. I watched her get mistreated. I watched a lot of stupid things happen to Mickie James storyline-wise. I'm really, really excited that I get to watch Mickie James in an era where WWE is respecting women and asking them to have longer matches, asking them to have better matches, and asking them to be the top performers on the show. Mickie James gets to transcend the diva slash women's wrestling world in this, because she gets to be on both ends. She was part of just the worst butterfly belt division, and now she gets to be a part of what is a really strong movement for women's wrestling in WWE, and I'm happy to see that. There's a part of me that is sad that I'm not going to get to see Trish and Lita and these other women who, in between having great matches, had to have bra and panty matches to entertain people. I'm sad that I won't get to see all of them enjoy this new era of respect for women in WWE, but, you know, that's life. That's timing and everything else, and that's WWE being very regressive when it came to how they treated women for years before, I'd say, maybe 2015. And now we get to see these women do something really special, and I think Mickie James is going to be a part of that.
Yeah, you know, Mickie had some decent matches in TNA too. I know people probably aren't as aware of it because it was years ago, and it was 2011. Yeah, I think she was in was the last time she was like full time in TNA, right? I can't remember the last the last time she held their championship. It's probably going back 5 years or so. But she, you know, she had a nice run there with some decent talent, and so it's not like she's completely disappeared after her WWE career and not made an effort. But I think she's in position now where, you know, she's going to offer a lot more flexibility to how they can treat characters on the SmackDown brand, because, you know, she has been successful as both a babyface and a heel in WWE, and I think she can still be that way. And so having another flexible player on that show allows them to explore other possibilities with some of the other women who have felt, you know, like they have been stuck in one mode or another for a while now. So I'm looking forward to a potential Mickie James and Becky Lynch feud. I think that seems to be where they're headed. And beyond that, I'm not entirely sure.
And I would say an eventual breakup between Alexa Bliss and Mickie James as well, where Mickie probably turns babyface and Alexa, who I think has been a very compelling lead heel for that division, gets to continue in that role. There is a lot of territory they can cover with an added character, and I think SmackDown has shown the ability to get the most out of these stories and get the most out of partnerships and stories and things like that that you don't necessarily see coming. So I'm really excited about that. To me, it was the bright point of a kind of meh SmackDown by the end of it on Tuesday night. So I was glad to see this close the show. Elsewhere in women's wrestling, Jake, we're going to have us a tournament. It was confirmed by Triple H, and I think a couple of interviews he did in the last couple days. we're going to have a women's wrestling tournament. We've talked about this. It's been heavily rumored and discussed. It sounds like this summer right now is the target date for it. Does this excite you? I believe it'll be in the form of, you know, the UK tournament or the CWC. Would you rather see it as a 10-week series or as a 2-night extravaganza?
I would like to see it take on a little bit of a longer form. You know, I think the CWC might be a better plan than the UK tournament, just doing it in 2 nights, because I think, you know, there's a lot of women out there who would be plenty qualified to make it in this environment. I mean, plenty of Japanese talent, plenty of, you know, the UK indie scene has quite a few successful women's acts. And of course, you know, there's people all over the United States who are more than qualified as well. So I think they'll be able to fill out a fairly deep roster for the tournament, and then they should make an effort to, you know, follow more closely to what they did with the CWC, which I think successfully told stories about some of those talents. Whereas the UK tournament, the short form that it was able to get over a couple of characters, but pretty much not everybody. You know, that we didn't really get a great introduction to all those guys.
The thing I liked about the UK tournament that the CWC kind of lacked was a brevity to it. There, the like 15-minute time limit matches on that first night, all of it felt like it flew by to me, and they were able to introduce and leave themselves somewhere to go, where I felt like at times in the CWC I got very whole and complete stories. As my dogs chime in, they're also fans of the CWC, very much so. We got full and complete stories in that cruiserweight tournament, though, which was cool. But now when you see them try and go back to it, say with Brian Kendrick playing that same character on Raw, it's like, oh well, that doesn't work quite as well, because he's not the enduring bully, he's the bully, period, and things like that. I liked the way the UK tournament kind of flew by, and I felt like I got so much thrown at me at once. And with the CWC, it left me waiting sometimes. But it also let me forget about it sometimes. It let me ignore some episodes sometimes, and I didn't exactly appreciate that. So I'm torn between what format I would rather see. I don't know that they will have, I believe it was 32 people that were in the CWC. I don't know if they will have 32 women for a, you know, 16, for, you know, a 16 match first round. I think we'd see closer to a 16-woman tournament, which would probably be about half the length of the CWC then, but 5 episodes on the network would be fine by me. What do you hope to see presentation-wise from this tournament? Do you want to see it kind of adhere to that straight wrestling feel they've done? Do you want to see them bring back WWE alumnus for it, or do you think they will stick straight to younger talent and stick straight to talent that isn't featured regularly on NXT or on Raw or SmackDown?
I think you should have, you know, some female talent come back and participate, you know, in terms of, you know, just having to talk about, you know, how unprecedented this is, and you know, how it's an opportunity that, you know, these women can't afford to let slip past them, and you know, maybe talk about how being a part of the WWE and finding success in the WWE opened up other doors for them. You know, there's plenty of, you know, fodder there for promotion. Certainly, I'd like to see an all-women announce team. I'd like to see them give Renee Young and perhaps somebody, you know, they could bring somebody in for color. Maybe they could bring Lita back. I don't know who she would have, you know, the best chemistry with. But
do not put Lita on a microphone ever. That's a bad choice.
I don't know who else they would bring in to do it, though. I mean, I can't imagine. Trish? Do you think she'd be good in a color role? I guess we've never really even seen her in that.
I'm not sure. And maybe this is an argument for a CWC style presentation. WWE doesn't have a lot of women that are trained to do play by play in color. I mean, Renee Young is the only woman I've heard in WWE do play by play. I would want the announce team to be pretty heavily edited, I think, just to make sure that the calls that we're getting on shows are the best they can possibly be. And on that front, I would definitely advocate for then the weekly show as opposed to the two-night extravaganza to make sure that we're getting the absolute best content we can on that weekly show.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I guess maybe you could bring somebody from the current women's roster over to do commentary, like somebody who you know, you feel like has a knack for, you know, for verbal confrontation. Like maybe even Charlotte. I mean, somebody who
you could rotate them too. Have different women sit in on each show with the play-by-play person.
I guess there's an opportunity there to, you know, further flesh out their characters. I don't know if they necessarily need to be in their television characters 100% of the time, but it would definitely, you know, be an opportunity for them to kind of grow as talents in that respect. But I think they should really put their best foot forward in terms of, you know, making it about the wrestling. You know, I know the CWC, you know, made an effort to tell stories, and I think that, you know, there's room for that on, you know, in this as well. I mean, in terms of getting these characters over, but I think they need to make it as much about, you know, how these women are fighting to get an opportunity to be a part of what WWE feels is a, you know, a prestigious and valuable title chase for those women's championships. You know, they really need to make an effort to make, you know, those feel like the ultimate goal. Like you're fighting for an opportunity not only to win a tournament, but, you know, to maybe headline a WrestleMania someday and capture a women's championship.
That was kind of my next question, is what do you think the prize should be at the end of this? What is at the end of the road for these women? Because I don't see WWE starting a full-on women's show the way they're rumored to do with the UK guys, or even more, the just endorsing, you know, starting to run Shine on the network the way they're talking about possibly running, and I believe PW Insider is reporting that it'll be announced very soon, ICW and Progress and various UK promotions on the WWE network. But I don't think WWE is going to start a women's show. I don't think they're going to start a full, you know, a full-on, like, 205 Live style show, even, where they flesh out their women's divisions, as smart as that would be, to be honest. But where do you think this leads for, say, Raw and SmackDown? Like, how do you incorporate the Raw, SmackDown, and NXT Women's Championships, if you will, into this tournament? Does the winner get to pick which one they get a shot at? Do you just say the GMs from these shows are watching, and whoever, you know, have Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley show up to tapings and be in the crowd and stuff, and say whoever wins this, and even the top competitors, they're going to get offers. It's going to become a big deal for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it to feel like a talent show where, like, well, you know, you're fighting for a contract, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if necessarily that would be the best idea, just because it winning a tournament should feel like a reward in and of itself. You know, so they should have a tournament champion. Are they going to be crowned, you know, or given
Queen of the Rings? They will get crowned.
As something like that. And I don't know, you know, this is essentially another tournament like the CWC to evaluate talent, you know, and potentially sign people who, you know, who they feel would be a good fit elsewhere, you know, and the winner of the tournament may not necessarily be the person they want to challenge for a championship. It just may be the person who's the best fit to win, you know, a 10-week tournament or whatever. You know, they want to give a happy ending, but they really feel like, you know, the heel in the top heel of the tournament was the one who's going to be the real star. You know, there's situations where that could be, you know, a real possibility. So, I you know, give them a trophy, and if you want to give him an opportunity, like say, hey, you're winning a chance to challenge for a championship on Raw or SmackDown, okay, you know, you could put a shot on the line, but I wouldn't say, like, you know, guaranteed contracts or anything like that.
Well, you could even, like I talked about having the GMs there, you could then carry stories, like, not just show, you know, Brian and Mick Foley in the crowd with notepads sitting in opposite places or something, but then actually carry it on to a woman, you know, we're going to have the women's tournament winner on Raw or on SmackDown, and there's a bidding war for who they are, and make that a Raw and SmackDown story. Don't make that a don't make that a WWE Women's Classic or whatever you're going to call it story. Like, you can put that on the actual TV, and that way you can introduce them as, you know, the tournament winner, or even, hey, the runner-up or something like that. You can use that footage and use that performance. What I want to see is better immediate follow-up to this. Something that has really disappointed me about follow-up to the CWC is it was the cruiserweights are coming. The cruiserweights are... And for a long time, it was just the cruiserweights are coming. And then when they debuted, it was, you know, TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick having unspectacular matches. It wasn't the big flashy showcase that we needed for that debuting cruiserweight division. And I want to see that from the women. I want to see immediate follow-up. I don't want to have to wait 3 months before, or longer. I mean, the runner-up in the CWC, Grand Metalik, still hasn't really appeared on 205 Live or Raw. Like, where is he? What's going on there? I want to see almost immediate follow-up with them on Raw, on SmackDown, on NXT, wherever they're going to use them. I want this to be like a big event in WWE that these competitors now get to come to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, I think Triple H mentioned that he was hoping to have this tournament take place during the summer. So is this something where they could have, you know, how many episodes they're going to have as a network special, and then have the finals take place at a show like SummerSlam? I wouldn't either, but I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, is that enough of a hook that would get people interested? Like, oh, well, the finals of this tournament are going to be on a major show. You know, I guess I don't know what their strategy is, but if they had a plan for somebody, like they were evaluating people and they're like, okay, we know we're going to bring this person in. We know we want them to challenge for a championship immediately after they win the tournament. Is, you know, just having them win on a pay-per-view and then challenge for a championship the next night on Raw or Tuesday on SmackDown, is that enough of a push where people would buy into, okay, this tournament actually is a serious thing?
I think it's possible. My worry about having them on SmackDown, or, you know, say, have a chance at the Rumble, or my worry about having them, say, get a shot at SummerSlam is then they're lost on a 5-hour behemoth of a show, where if they are the main event, if the two women competing in the finals are the main event of their own show, be it at Full Sail or wherever else WWE wants to tape it, they are the show. They are the feature. People are there to see them. And you don't get something like what we have now with 205 Live, where half the time the crowd is leaving or completely zoned out for most of the show. So that's my only concern about having it there. I do want to see these women get a chance. So who do you want to see get a chance in this? Like, do you have one wish list performer that you want to see in this tournament?
Io Shirai, I think, would be my first pick from Japan. There's plenty of, you know, other talent in Japan that you might be. I mean, Deonna Purrazzo is another one I'd like to see in the tournament. There's plenty of women in Shimmer too. Kimberly, Evie. You know, there's others that I want to see. I just don't know how large the field is going to be, and who might, you know, get snapped up by, you know, Ring of Honor or TNA, even now that they seem to be on solid financial footing. So, well, by the time summer comes around, I don't know who's going to be available.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to be available for it. For me, I really want to see Candice LeRae in this. It's a little bit of homerism. I have watched Candice in PWG for many years. She doesn't compete there quite as often anymore, but I've watched her develop as a performer. I've watched her tell some phenomenal stories in the ring. One of my favorite tag matches I've ever seen was Candice and Joey against the Young Bucks. Not the one where Candice gashed her head open. That one grosses me out to no end. But they had a match, I think, at the Matt Rushmore show a few years back that was just phenomenal. Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see Rachel Ellering, Tessa Blanchard. I mean, there's plenty of female talent out there that has, you know, lineage and ties to WWE, and they love that stuff. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see them there. But there's, you know, it really does depend on who's available and who's out there and who would, you know, put off you know, signing if a deal comes along to just participate in a tournament without any real promise of, you know, future contracts or anything. So I think people are going to do what's best for themselves business wise. But I hope there's a nice pool of talent available for this. It would be great.
Exactly. And I'm excited about it. I think it'll be really fun. I loved the UK tournament. I loved the CWC. I think they were both two really well done attempts at wrestling storytelling without some of the standard WWE tropes. And I'm excited to see what WWE does next with this format of these kind of one-off tournaments. Anything else to add before we wrap it up today, Jake?
No, I think we covered everything, man.
Yeah. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!